Well, welcome back. Today is a good day. Isn't it a good day? My goodness. And it's because we have a really good God, right? Who's on the throne, and he's doing amazing things today. How many of you, raise your hand if you had someone contact you this week praying for you by text or something like that? Isn't that fantastic? That's so awesome. So, this is really cool. We're in the middle of our reboot series where we take a fresh look at who God is and who he's made us to be. And this week we're looking at our church's five priorities, one of the five priorities, and this week is on the priority of prayer, the priority of prayer. 2 weeks ago, I began preparing for today's sermon. And so I was praying, I was listening to God, trying to hear what he wanted to talk about today. I was writing down some of the scriptures that came to mind, all the things that had to do with the topic of prayer. And it wasn't very long before God began to say to me, "That's enough talking about prayer, just pray." Which was an interesting thing for God to say as I was praying to him, right? So I'm praying to God, he's like, "That's enough, it's time to pray." Which is so funny. But it led me to going through the church directory. So I pulled out the church directory, and I started on Tuesday, and I set aside this week to be a week of prayer. And I began going through the church directory, and anyone who had a cell phone number, I texted. So I sat for a couple minutes for everyone, and I just prayed. "Lord, what do you want me to pray for this person?" I sent them a little quick text message of prayer. And I started to get responses. I sent out 107 to 107 different families this week. It took me about 2.5 days of praying to do that. And I challenged the recipients of those texts, many of you, to also pass that on, to think of two other people that you could pray for, that you could somehow contact, that you could text, or you could phone, or you could write a letter to, or you could drop by for a coffee or something like that. And as I begin to get responses back, I got more than, probably about 70% of you responded back immediately with kind of like a conversation. Because I invited you, I said, "Is there anything else I can be praying for?" And many of you wrote back and said, "Can you pray for this also?" And so I wrote another prayer back and forth. There was a conversation that went on. And many of you said, "I'll take up that challenge." Over half of you said that I'm going to take up that challenge and I'm going to find two other people that I can contact and I can pray for. What that means is that potentially over, and hopefully much over, 200 families got prayed for this week. Isn't that awesome? I was so encouraged by that. I kept getting responses from people about how much this meant. In fact, by the time Thursday came around, I was still praying for people on Thursday. By the time Thursday came around, as I was texting people, they said, "Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Just last night, someone texted me a prayer." So it was already happening immediately. It was so exciting to see that happen. I'd like to encourage you, if you didn't receive, maybe your cell phone number is not in the directory, so maybe you didn't receive a text this week. Don't take that as a slight. I can only do so much. I'm not all-knowing, so I just texted the numbers I had. But what I would encourage you to do is, why don't you take it on yourself to find two people to pray for? Whether it means you call them, or you text them, or you write them a letter, do something like that to connect with somebody this week to pray for them. One person shared with me that God often brings people to mind for them as they're going throughout their normal day, whatever they're doing. So God will bring someone to mind, and they'll just quickly have a conversation with God. "Okay, so you've brought Susie to mind for me, God. What can I pray for Susie?" And then God will kind of give this person a word or a thought or a prayer to pray for Susie, and they just pray for Susie. And they said this week they were challenged. If I just took one extra minute out of my day, I could text Susie. And I can say, "Hey, Susie, God brought you to mind. I prayed this for you. I hope you have a great day." And she's begun to do that. She's begun to do that with people. I wonder what that would look like if we began to do that. I'm sure many of you pray. In fact, I've been told that many of you have prayer lists. In the morning, you'll wake up and you pray over many people in the community, in the church, and all over the place. What would it take if you took one extra minute and just reached out to some of those people? Not all of them, maybe, because some of you have quite extensive prayer lists. What if you just took a few minutes to pray for some of those people? I think it would change the world. This could be like one of those old-fashioned chain letters. You guys know what I'm talking about? Those ones, I mean, they do it on email or on Facebook now. If you share this post or you send this email out to 10 people, you'll have a blessed day or something like that. You'll win the lottery or something crazy like that. This isn't quite like those chain letters, but I wonder if we began to take that same kind of outlook to things. If we pray for two people and encourage them, pray for two more people, and people begin to move this prayer thing exponentially, what that would change. Well, hang on to that thought for a second about what could change or what could happen if we began to pray like this, because I think it's important for us to begin to talk about what is prayer. And maybe the first thing we need to understand is that prayer is this two-way conversation with God that results actually in some increased relationship with Him. It's not a one-way thing. I know many of us like to talk to God, to kind of talk at God. But how many of you know that God likes to talk to us too? He loves to talk to us. And not just, I heard someone make this quote one time. They said, if you want to hear God, read the Bible. And if you want to hear God out loud, read the Bible out loud. And that's true, and that's wonderful. And God speaks to us through His Bible. But He also speaks to us in other words. In other ways, we hear the voice of God as actually part of our birthright as children of God, to hear the voice of God. Prayer is this two-way conversation between us and our Creator, this chance to be able to hear His thoughts and to be able to share the things that are going on in our minds. We do this all the time with people, right? We have conversations with people to build relationship, to get to know them better. It's the same way with God. We have conversations with Him so that we can know Him better, so we can know ourselves better and understand His thoughts and maybe better understand our own. You remember back in the beginning, way back in the very beginning with Adam and Eve? What did you see there? When you read the story of Adam and Eve, there was this story of God walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the garden. This was His regular thing that He did. God would come down and He'd walk in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and talk to them. Have a friendship, a relationship with them. Even after Adam and Eve sinned, it wasn't God who pulled back. Adam and Eve hid. God still came down into the garden the same way He had always done to speak with Adam and Eve. He had to call them out from hiding because God so desired talking to His creation, speaking with them, teaching them about who He is and who they are. And God still desires to connect with us. God is a conversational God. God is a relational God. God has always been speaking. As you look through Scripture, you see that God speaks through creation. God speaks through His written word. God speaks through His Holy Spirit. God has always been speaking. He's a conversational God, and He's always been seeking relationship with His people. He's a relational God. Look at the story of Moses. God first shows up with Moses in this burning bush. Moses is walking by, and there's this burning bush going, and Moses kind of turns to the side. Oh, look, a burning bush. And God speaks to him. It wasn't much later than that. It was a little while later, but it was a little while later that God began to speak to Moses at a more intimate level. Later on, God takes Moses up on top of the mountain, and they spend over a month hanging out together. In fact, it got even more friendly than that. This is what's written in the book of Exodus. Exodus 33:11, it says this, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." Isn't that remarkable? Face to face as one speaks to a friend. In fact, in the Old Testament, we see God often speaking to His people. He speaks to His people in dreams and visions. God spoke directly to the prophets, even having long conversations that went back and forth. The Old Testament records all kinds of conversations where the prophets speak to God and God speaks to the prophets. The Psalms, many of them written by King David and even his son Solomon, are often accounts of back and forth conversations between God and man, talking about what's happening, what's going on in the world, laying forth all the aches and pains of life, but also hearing the provision of God. In John chapter 10, it says that Jesus' sheep hear His voice. His sheep hear His voice. Oh, In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the counselor, would continue to teach us, reminding us of everything that Jesus had said. The conversation and the relationship that the disciples had experienced with Jesus as they walked with Jesus on the earth, that would continue as the Holy Spirit led them and guided them and taught them and reminded them of everything Jesus had said. Our God continues to be a conversational and relational God. And it's not just that God puts up with this. It's not just that God allows us to come into his presence. God not only invites us into his presence to pray, he actively pursues finding people who will pray. There are many occurrences in the whole of the Bible that show God seeking out people to partner with them, to have conversation with them, to pray and to hear and to listen and to speak. God seeks out relationship with his people. I just want to show you a couple of quick examples. One is a passage that you've heard me speak about often before. It's this passage in 2 Chronicles. When I shut up the heavens, God says, so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. God was looking for someone to pray. If you pray, I will listen, God says. My eyes and my ears will be attentive to the prayers prayed in this place. God set up the place, the temple at that time, as a place where people could come and speak to God. Don't you find that to be an amazing statement? If my people will pray, my ears and my eyes will be open to them. Now look at this other example from Ezekiel. It begins with a rather dire look at the cultural climate around the people. Here's what happens in Ezekiel chapter 22. Here's how it begins. God is speaking. He says, "The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice." This is just the first half of this passage I'm about to read. The first part is God's look at this cultural climate that's going on at the time. It's not unlike what we probably see around us even right now. God saw that the world was messed up. And with such brokenness and sin, God's judgment was coming upon the wrongdoers and the land. The land was bearing the weight of this perverse and broken cultural climate. Does this sound a bit like today? Does our land not experience the weight of the perverse and broken climate that we live in? But God does not want to unleash his judgment. He doesn't. He actually just does not enjoy sending his judgment on things. Judgment comes to bring those who have no hope, hope, to bring freedom to the oppressed. God looks out and he sees all the people that are trying to oppress, and he says, "I'm going to pour out my judgment because I've got to rescue some people here." But God's desire is that freedom would actually come in another way, not by the pouring out of his judgment. Look at this. God wants to heal the land and the people without having to destroy either. And so here's what God does. Look at this passage, okay? So it begins, "The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice." Then he continues on. He says, "I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. I looked for somebody to stop me." You know, God is not like out of control and hoping somebody will come and like spank him a little bit. God's not looking for that, okay? God is saying, "I'm looking for somebody that will stand in the gap here. Is there a person who will stand in the gap?" God is looking for someone to do what he called the people to do in 2 Chronicles. "If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, oh, if they would turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I would heal their land." This is my heart's cry, God says. I want to heal the land. I want to heal the land. If I can find someone to stand in the gap for me, God actively searches for someone who can do that. who can build up the wall of righteousness, who can stand in the gap in front of the people and declare the goodness of God. Someone who would pray. But here's the sad ending. In that passage in Ezekiel, God simply says, "But I found no one." But I found no one. God's actively searching at this time in Ezekiel for someone who'd stand in the gap. But I found no one. Can you imagine that? Not one person, God. Not one person who would pray. Not one person who would stand in the gap. God looked and found no one able to stand in the gap and pray. Now, certainly we see this as this prophecy of the coming Messiah. But there were times in Scripture that God relented based upon someone standing in the gap. Remember the story of Abraham as he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. And God had told Abraham, "I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." And Abraham said, "But Lord, what if there are good people there?" And God said, "Well, if there are 10, get them down to 10. If there's 10 good people there, I'll relent." But they couldn't even find 10. What would God find if he looked around today? Would he find someone willing to stand in the gap? If God were looking to heal our land and bring freedom to the people, would he find someone who'd be willing to partner with him in this? Someone to rebuild the wall of righteousness, someone to stand in the gap. God pursues finding people who will stand in the gap and pray because God wants to partner with us in the healing of our land and the freeing of our people. God wants to partner with us in this. God chooses to build his kingdom using our prayers. Look at how Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Would you pray this with me? "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Jesus invites us to pray for his kingdom to come and for his will to be done. Why? Why does he do that? Because he wants to partner with us. He's looking for people, actively looking for someone. Would you stand in the gap for your world? Stand in the gap and pray for the kingdom to come. Now, could God do this without us? Just take a minute. Answer this question in your own head. Could God build his kingdom without us? Just try to answer it in your own head. Now, I would say that clearly the answer is no. I do not think that God could build his kingdom without us. Is that a surprise? God cannot heal the land or free the prisoners without us. Not because we are all powerful, or because he is not sovereign or powerful enough, but because God is not a solo mission God. Solo missions are not God's way, and God cannot go against his own nature. God's nature is to partner with his people to bring healing to his land. God's nature is to partner with his people to free the prisoners. God's nature is to partner with his people to bring his kingdom to earth. Have you thought of it that way before? That God actually desires to partner with us in this. That a solo mission was never God's plan. Even when he sent Jesus, it was the Father and Jesus in agreement together to come and bring salvation. Even when he started in the very beginning, he said, "Let us make man in our image." Not a solo mission, but the Godhead coming together in community to create mankind. God is not a solo mission God. Look at all through Scripture how he often, almost all the time, chooses to send his message, heal a person, or make a way where there seems to be no way through people. Could God have led the children of Israel out of Egypt all on his own? I would say no. God needed, because it's in his character to do so, to use Moses. Could God have spoken to the people without a prophet? I would say no, because it's in God's character to use people to speak. And can God bring healing and freedom to the world today without his church? No, because it's outside of God's character to do so. God's desire is to use his church to proclaim his gospel, to proclaim freedom for prisoners, to tell people they are loved. This is what God does. He uses his people to do it. That's why God looks for people to partner with him. And the way that we partner with God in this is through prayer. God, may your kingdom come, and may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Active prayer. Do you want to see more joy in the world? So does God. God wants to see more joy in the world. Do you want to see more hope in the world? Well, so does God. Do you want to see more peace in the world? So does God. God desires these things. And you know what, folks? It is you who he is commissioning to go out to bring these things to the world. So begin to pray for joy. Begin to pray for hope. Begin to pray for peace. Declare it over your neighborhood. Declare it over your streets. Declare it over your community. Declare it over your world. That his kingdom would come and that his will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Take a minute and just turn to the person next to you, whether you're here or whether you're at home, and just say, I bless you with joy in Jesus Christ's name. Now, you have no joy to give except for the joy that Jesus has placed in you already. But doesn't it feel good to turn to someone and just say, I bless you with joy? Because he has given you an abundance joy so that you can give it out to other people. He wants to use you to bless people with joy. He wants to use you to build his kingdom. So number one is that prayer is a two-way conversation with God. And it builds relationship. We talk to God, he talks to us. It's a two-way conversation. And number two is that prayer is a means for God to work his purposes in our world. He is not a solo mission God. He's not a solo mission God. He's looking to partner with us, to find people like you and I who will stand in the gap so that the land can be healed and the people can be set free. Isn't that good? It's really so good. It's so good. So how do we pray? How do we pray? Well, just start by talking to God. We had a young lady several years ago, probably about 12 years ago, who came through our youth group. She was graduating at the high school, and they asked her to do the prayer for the convocation. So at the end of the year, they were graduating, and they had heard this young lady pray many times. And they said, that's the kind of prayer we want to have over our school. And so they asked her to pray for the convocation. So she got up and she prayed. And it was so beautiful because she just said, hey, God, it's me. Isn't that so good? So good. Now, oftentimes we're like, well, that's not how you pray. You've got to be like, oh, Heavenly Father. And that's a good way to pray too. But I wonder if we get stuck sometimes on trying to make our prayers sound beautiful. And sometimes we just need to start by saying, hey, God, it's me. Start praying. I love this passage in Revelation chapter 5. It's a beautiful passage, okay? If you haven't read it before, you need to go home and read it. But there's this moment in the heavenly places. John the Apostle is taken up in the heavenly places, and he's seeing the story of the world unfold in front of him. And as he's there, there's the throne sitting in the middle of the space they're in, and around the throne are these different types of creatures, and there's a 24 elders, and there's angels. There just seems to be a throng of all of the heavenly hosts hanging out around this throne. And John is there, and an angel has a scroll and asks the question, who is worthy to open this scroll? And I don't know how long it took, but it says that they looked all over heaven and earth, and nobody was worthy to open this scroll. Nobody was worthy. And so John the apostle begins to weep because there's no one who's worthy. And at that moment, one of the elders grabs John and says, don't weep. Here's what he says. He says, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll. And there stands Jesus. And as Jesus takes the scroll, all of heaven bows in worship before Jesus. It's such a beautiful moment. All of heaven bows in worship. But there's this piece in this passage that sometimes we miss. Here's what happens, okay? In this passage, right as the elders are bowing down to Jesus, John notices that they've all got bowls. The elders have bowls of incense that's kind of wafting up. This sweet-smelling, beautiful incense is wafting up. And John says, those are the prayers of the saints. Those are the prayers of the saints. Now, don't raise your hand when you do this, because I just want to ask this question. Who here is a saint? Don't raise your hand. You should be raising, don't raise your hand. All of y'all, there we go. We got a hand in the back, right? That's right, you're a saint. All those who have been redeemed of Jesus Christ are saints. All of y'all, you're saints. And here the elders are holding, in the presence of the King of Kings, they're holding these bowls of incense. And John says, those are the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. In the middle of this amazing moment of all of heaven bowing before God, bowing before Jesus, the prayers that you and I have been praying are wafting up and filling the throne room of God. Isn't that amazing? The prayers that you pray at 2 a.m. because you're just flabbergasted, you can't fall asleep because it's just so torment, and you're just praying, God, I just don't know what to do. God, pray, I pray, I pray. Those prayers are wafting up in the throne room of God, filling the place with this amazing smell and this smoke, our prayers coming before the throne room of God. You don't have to pray a pretty prayer. Just pray. Just pray. Those prayers become incense in front of Jesus. That's how precious they are. And we sing a song about this moment. My voice is not going to help. We're going to try this. All the saints and angels, they bow before the throne, and all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. And then the bridge in this song that we sing goes like this, okay? Day and night, night and day, let, and no, it's terrible, right? It's terrible. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Something like that, you get it. This amazing moment, day and night, night and day. I don't know if, as we sung that song before, did you know where it came from? It comes out of this Revelation chapter 5. That the prayers of the saints rise day and night, night and day, in the presence of Jesus. In the presence of Jesus. It's so good. It's so good. When you pray, your prayer fills the throne room of God. Fills the throne room of God. So don't worry if your prayer doesn't sound all that beautiful, because it gets changed somehow. And then it comes before God as incense. So let's stop talking about prayer and let's just pray. Let's fill the throne room of heaven with our prayers. So I'm going to lead you through a simple prayer here, a moment of prayer. And this is not going to take long. I actually encourage you to begin praying shorter prayers. I encourage you to begin praying shorter prayers. There is time for lingering long in prayer. There's time for that. I think that's fantastic. When the saints gather together, when the saints go to their own prayer closet and they pray for long times, there's time for that, and I think that's fantastic. But I want to encourage you. I think something powerful would happen if instead of spending one day a week or one day a month or whatever lingering long in prayer, if we began to pray short prayers every day, several times a day, just short little prayers when God speaks to us and we begin to pray, when we see some brokenness in the world, when you're watching the news and you're like, oh, everything is just terrible. Oh, God, you see this, Jesus. Would you heal our land? Or when you're talking to somebody, we were sitting here and I had somebody come visit. Hi, Mickey. I saw somebody come in, someone came and visited the church and they said, I just drove by a wreck that happened. You guys probably heard about this one between Hythe and Beaver Lodge that just happened this week. And she came and said, I just drove by that wreck. And I saw the first responder showing up, but I don't know what happened. And so I said, let's just stop and pray right now. And we just prayed a 2-minute prayer. God, whatever's happening there, we just bless the first responders as they go. We speak against trauma and the plans of the enemy. We speak against death and brokenness and sadness and fear. And we just declare life over that whole situation. It took us a minute, 1 minute to pray. I wonder if we would stop and pray for people. Somebody else shared with me this week that one of their neighbors, who is probably not a believer, is going through a rough time. And they offer to pray for her often, and she always accepts. Can we just pray for you right now? And she says, yeah, you please pray for me. And they get to pray for her. I wonder what would change if we just began to start praying short prayers. So here's what I want you to do right now. We're going to do this. I want you to just listen to Jesus for a moment and see what he would like you to pray for. Is it a person? Is it a nation? Is it a people group? Jesus, what do you want me to pray for? Just ask that question. We'll just take a second. Jesus, what do you want me to pray for? Okay. If you don't have it yet, you'll get it in a second. Okay. So it might be your neighbor Susie. It might be the peace country or the government of Canada. It might be a lost people or the persecuted church in China or isolated people. It could be all kinds of things. Jesus, what do you want me to pray for? Okay. Now, the second question is this. What do you want me to pray? What do you want me to pray? And whatever Jesus lays on your heart, you're going to pray it in a moment. Whether it's hope for your neighbor Susie, peace for the peace country, salvation for those who are lost, protection for the persecuted church in China, opportunities to show Jesus' love to the isolated. Jesus, what do you want me to pray? Who do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to pray? Now, we're going to get you to pray around your tables, okay? So I just want you to just gather around. I'm only going to give you 4 minutes. So I don't want anybody to tell anybody what they did today or how hard it was to get in their vehicle and drive this way or what the time change did to your kids. Don't talk about any of that stuff. Just turn to your table and someone start praying. And then whoever feels comfortable, pray. 30-second prayers. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, you've only got 4 minutes around your table. 30-second prayers. Dear Jesus, I bless Susie with peace. Okay, that's it. Amen. Okay, pray. All right, that was only 2 minutes. But Jesus, thank you so much for these prayers. Thank you so much for what you are actively about to accomplish and do as your people stand in the gap and pray. God, do it. Do it. Do what you want to do, Lord. Yeah, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. So here's the extra kicker. I want you, if you had a person come to mind that you prayed for, I want you to text them and encourage them. Hey, your name came to mind today. Now, if it's not a believer and you just want to say, I thought about you today, you can probably say that too. But maybe go out on a limb and say, you know what, I prayed for you today. I prayed joy for you today. I bless you with joy in Jesus Christ's name. Hope you have a great day. So do that. So now, get your phones out. If you thought of somebody, a person, text them right now. If you want to give them a call later on, if you want to send them a letter later on, if you want to show up for coffee later on, you can do that also. But just send them a quick text, okay, and do that. So I want to challenge you this week as well. Don't stop as you're texting. You can listen and text at the same time. It's good. I want to challenge you this week to step into prayer, to get a conversation going with Jesus, to build up your relationship with him, and to see how he wants to use you to heal our land, to free the prisoners, to build his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. I want to encourage you to fill the throne room of heaven with your prayers. Fill the throne room of heaven with your prayers.